Take your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 3. I can't tell you enough about this introduction to this verse, but it's affected me all my life, my spiritual life, and Val too. We had prayed over this verse. We've done this many times, just drawing attention to what it says about trusting in the Lord. I'm going to read it now, but it's precious in every way. And it's kind of one of those magical verses where it's just so good. It's vitamin C from one end to the other. You can just get you read it, and you 2 days later you read it again. You never tire. You counsel somebody, and you use this verse to encourage their hearts as well. It's just that kind of a passage of Scripture. So trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Or we could stop right there, it would be worthwhile. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil, and it'll be healing to your flesh. And I'll touch on that a bit later. Trust in the Lord. That's the only thing that will see you through whatever you're facing, to trust in the Lord. It's the precious thing we hang on to. How are you doing? I'm trusting in the Lord. Yeah, that's how it ought to be. And do not, so one is trust, the other is do not lean on your own understanding. You see, I've got huge amounts of understanding that I made up because I wanted it to be a certain way. But it's not the answer. The answer is that we would turn to the Lord, trust him, and then to not trust in anything of our own. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Just acknowledge him. I can think of how many times Val and I have gotten into the car. We said, we need to just pause here for a moment, and let's just acknowledge the Lord. Lord, we acknowledge your presence here in this car. We acknowledge you that this is, or we're going into, whatever it is you're facing, to be able to just to take a moment and stop trying to figure it out and just say, Lord, we just need to acknowledge you. We haven't got a clue how this is going to work out. So we trust you, and you'll make straight our paths. Because the path you'll never... See, I've concluded this in my life. I will never get it right. I will never get it correct. If I think, I'll be on a wrong road, when my ship comes in, I'll be at the airport. I just have that sense about it, that no matter how smart I could be or how clever I might think I am, I won't be accurate, and I'll be off, and I'll be frustrated, and I'll be discouraged if you do not trust the Lord. Now, if the reverse is true, that if you refuse to lean on your own understanding, because it's too tricky. It's too difficult. There must be a greater force at work in our lives, and there will be as we turn to the Lord. So these are daily steps that you're walking to the bus, and you're just thinking of it and say, Lord, I just acknowledge you. Lord, cause me not to trust in false things, but that I would trust fully on you. And Lord, I'm looking to you. I acknowledge you in all my ways, that you will direct me, go ahead of me. So, number one, here's the principles that I found helpful, at any rate. Number one, don't depend on you. Owen, don't depend on you. Just refuse to. Because of what you will face, disappointments, setbacks, reversals, changes, things you can't control. Then all these things are rushing down the pike towards us, and we often depend on ourselves because we have a certain kind of grade A flesh about us. We have this ability to be able to say, I don't know if I can trust. No, you can't trust only yourself. You will be greatly disappointed, and I can say with confidence, I can tell you that they're... These things will come down, and you'll be frustrated, and it'll be overwhelmed. And so we refuse to budge on this and say, Lord, I want to only trust you. I'm only going to put my confidence in you. I put no confidence in the arm of the flesh. The arm of the flesh will lead you astray every time. Never will it fail. It will get you in trouble. The arm of the flesh is an unpredictable. I'll talk more about that verse in a little bit ahead here. But it's the Lord alone. Lord, you are our confidence. And I trust in you. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. If there was anything better than this verse, it's another one of those ones. And 11 chapters, right? 11 chapters of Romans. And Paul, it just flows out of him. He says, Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are your ways. How unsearchable are your ways. Wow. That's pretty powerful. To know that this is the God, he owns everything. The riches he owns, the wisdom, the knowledge of God. And so we can say how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable. Actually, while I'm preaching, why doesn't somebody put that on your screen? I know you're over there anyway. And why don't you just look up the word inscrutable? I was going to do that and I didn't. Inscrutable. Who ever used that word? You haven't used that for 50 years. But that's a great, how inscrutable his ways. And so in that process, we lay aside all our plans. That's the first thing. Lord, I lay aside my clever plans. It seems that way to me at any rate. And experiences. See, the older you get, the more you tend to trust in your flesh because you've dealt with a lot of things. And you were involved in this and you were involved in that. So you have to lay aside. Doesn't it just say, don't use it, but don't lean on it. Don't lean on your cleverness and your experience. And yield, and I wrote in mine, yield to his plans. He's got plans. And you're sitting here today, by faith, I say this, you will experience the plans of the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do about that job. I don't know what I'm going to do about this. I'm not sure what I should do. Lord, it's all too much for me. And at that point, that's when the good stuff comes. When you say, Lord, I don't have the ability to crank this out the way I should, the way I'd like to, the way I'd want to. It must be you. You must be my wisdom. You must be my riches. You must be my knowledge. I trust only in you. And so that's verse number one principle. Don't depend on you. You'll be tempted to beyond belief. It just overwhelms it because we should do something. Shouldn't I do something? We can't just sit here and trust God. We must do something. And then we put our hand out and we touch the ark. You might happen they touched the ark. It's terrible how that didn't work out. And so for ourselves, say, Lord, I don't want to be guilty of trying to make things work in life so it goes my way. That's number one. Number two, there's a cry to the Lord that's more than just a little prayer. That you give yourself to it. You kneel down beside your bed or you find a spot in the church and you get alone with God. And if we were to hear it, we would hear some of the agony of your prayer because you don't know what to do. So you instead of doing something, we do nothing or we just get in trouble from ourselves. So we cry out to God, Psalm 55, 16, but I call to God and the Lord will save me because I cry out, not some little wimpy prayer that, you know, oh, dear Jesus, please help me. Please look after me. I'm so scared. And then, Lord, please, what kind of prayer is that? What kind of confidence is that? You need a prayer that says, Lord God, I call on your mighty name. I'm asking largely, Lord, that my joy may be full. Lord, come. I will fail if you do not help me. You must be my guide. You must be the one that watches over me. I cry out to you. And if somebody walking by, they would have heard that. They said, no, that's a prayer. That's a prayer from the heart. That you don't have a clue how to figure this out and how to help that person or look after that situation. You don't have a clue, but you've called out to God. And I always tell people, say, did you call out to the Lord? I mean, really called out to him. I did. I said, then we'll rest well. We won't worry about this because the Lord will not disappoint you to those who call out to him. It's just his nature. He can't help himself. I'm convinced of that. God can't help himself. You can say, Lord, please, please, God, may I not be destroyed by this. May you come to me. Please come to me. I don't know what to do. 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 Help me. Be thou my help. Or I'll be going, this will not work. This won't happen. That won't happen. All the things we could think of as we cry out to him to save us. And then verse 17, he says, evening, covered all the bases here. Evening and morning and at noon. Evening, morning, and noon. I utter my complaint. I utter my complaint and I moan. And here's the result of that. And he hears my voice. He hears my voice. You call out him today, whatever situation, whatever you're facing, whatever difficulty, whatever path that you're seeking, you can be assured of that. He'll hear your voice. What a thing, isn't it? Thing that God would hear my voice. Mm-hmm. He'll come running. Raise your voice to him. Call out to him. Let that not just be a nice evangelical prayer, but a face on the carpet. I don't know what to do, God. A moan, my complaint. Somebody said, well, I can't complain to God. Oh, can't you? I'm glad you told me because I've been complaining for years. I've been complaining to God for years and years. Every time there's a situation, I complain. Lord, where are you? How come you're not helping me? Why aren't you looking after me? Lord, surely you're not going to let me be destitute in this situation. Help me. Well, most of it's complaint. But out of that can be a little bit of something, a moan, and you utter your complaint, and then, surprise, surprise, he hears our voice. I have a lifetime of God hearing my voice. He's familiar with my voice. Funny about voices, a couple of weeks ago, Val and I were down by some coffee place. On Lonsdale, and she was going to get something, and so I said, well, I'll just sit here. So I just sat down, and this lady says, I know you. I said, oh, I don't know you. I know you. I know you. I know. I just said, give me a minute. No, that's not it. She named a couple of that. No, that's not it. I know. How do I know you? She says, I know you. And I said, I don't think so. I don't know you, so I don't know how you, where would you have known me? And then she pauses and she says, I know how I know you. You're Owen Scott from Valley Church. I said, how did you know that? How did you? She said, oh, I didn't recognize you. I recognize your voice. I recognize your voice. That's the thing. I knew that's who you were because of your voice. Well, I can't get rid of that. I probably would change it. I can make it much more strong. But she caught it. I said, well, we'll see you again. She'd been at our, and then she said, I was at your church doing the bread ministry. Remember that? How many remember that? Remember the bread ministry? That's just what she was doing. And we had a great conversation. We talked about Jesus, and it was worthwhile. But as that lady recognized my voice, so God, he recognized, he's familiar with your voice. And it's great comfort for all of us that the Lord, as I pray, I'm not some, oh, who are you? I never met you before. What are you coming for? I don't even know who you are. I don't even recognize your voice. He recognizes your voice. And I find that wonderfully comforting. And there's a kind of a God that he said, I won't let you fail. I'll watch over you and protect you. So Proverbs 3 and 6 again, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Everything that comes up, you're going to buy something, pray about it. You're going to get a different car, pray about it. You're going to take a trip, pray about it. Before you're halfway down the road, pray about it to see if that just, you know, usually what you desire in your heart is usually what God desires. That's my take on it. God often wants what I want. And as long as I don't force his hand, because he will give you what you want, but you won't be what you need. We just acknowledge him in all our ways. Small things, you know, we say, well, we're gonna buy a this or that, and say, well, let's just pray about it. And so praying, we acknowledge, Lord, you're great and mighty God. We belong to you. And Lord, we want if you don't want us to have this, just gently close the door, and we won't get this. But if it's okay, Lord, then we're going to go ahead and we're going to do this or do that. And we cry to the Lord, and he hears that our voices. And so that brings us to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Have that sense of, I'm not playing with God. I'm in honor of him, that I've called on the God who is willing to help me. And turn away from evil and run from evil. If you sense any evil in it, don't linger on that area. That would be very, 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 very wrong. Number three, put God first. I'm so thankful for that I know Jesus. So glad that I know my Heavenly Father, as we heard here, the Trinitarian admonition. It was beautiful. We put God first in our life. Proverbs 3 and 8, not last, first. And I've often, hundreds and hundreds of times, have said, have you prayed about this? Did you get a green light? Well, no, I didn't wait. I just assumed God wants this for me. I said, maybe you should back it up a little bit and just watch what the Lord will do, but not to rush out. Put the Lord first. That's the most important thing. Put the Lord first. First in your prayers, first in your giving, everything. Put the Lord first. You'll never, ever, ever be sorry. See, I consider, maybe you wouldn't, but I consider my life I have a blessed life. I'm blessed. I'm really blessed. Why am I blessed? Because I've sought, not always been good at it, but sought to put the Lord first. And you'll find that you'll not be side of the road, out of gas and out of luck. You won't be. You'll be the head and not the tail. You will not be frustrated and laying in despair. You will be ruling and rising with the Lord, and you'll be a blessing to him and him to you. So it will be, chapter 3, verse 8, Proverbs, it will be healing to your flesh. I don't know about this verse entirely, but I suspect it's a reference to healing. I mean, to getting healed. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Just by the fact that if I honor the Lord, if I put the Lord first, I can anticipate to live a healthier life, to be in health, to prosper and be in health. Because he said it'll bring healing to you. And I wonder if what happens if the reverse of that might be true. But it's a blessing in itself. There'll be healing to your flesh. So I'm not anticipating getting sick. I'm not anticipating. Something could happen. Of course it could. But overall, you'd say, Is it well with you? Is it well with you? And you say, yes, it's well with me. And why? I know why. Because you serve the Lord. You honor the Lord. And it's well with you. Now, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth whatever that would be, and with the first fruits of your produce. As you remember, put him first. Put him first with your wealth, with your first fruits. Put him first, not last, but put him first. Watch what will happen. Someone asked us, Val and I, if we still tithe. I thought, yeah, well, we couldn't stop. There's no way we could stop. I said, because the tenth that's left over is such a blessing. We wouldn't even think of it. But to put, first of all, put the Lord's tithe, and watch what'll happen. Watch what He will do in your life, in my life, with the first fruits of all our produce to give to the Lord, and watch what'll happen. But to put Him first. I remember one time when we were younger, we gave part to God and part to us. Only it was one for God, nine for us, and we were kind of cheating, and we wonder why we weren't prospering. Well, I think that we weren't prospering because we weren't honoring the Lord. We were just trying to get ahead or something. I don't know what we were doing, but all I'm saying is that there's something magical about the 9/10 of the. You know what I'm talking about? Just something magical about it. I don't know why that we couldn't ever stop tithing, because there's a blessing in it. There's just a blessing in it, and there may be a few moments like this, but overall, I know that we will not be in financial crisis because we honor the Lord with our wealth. Whether it's a little bit of wealth or a lot of wealth, we try to honor the Lord. I'm not trying to draw attention to us, but just to give you the point. And watch what God will do. It's how to live successfully. Right? That's how you live successfully. And so then, look at this. Then your barns, not many barns around here. Then your barns will be filled with plenty. Not some, but plenty. And your vats will be bursting with wine. Well, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 10. Bursting. I don't know if that's not actually referring to, well, maybe it is, literal wine, literal vats, but the point is a picture of prosperity. It's a picture of wealth. And he said it'll just burst. It'll just flow all over. You'll be blessed from this way, blessed from that side. It's not giving to get, it's just that to honor the Lord in any way you can, and then to trust Him that He'll look after the rest. I want to talk about Jeremiah for a moment. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Here's the danger of all this stuff that we're talking about. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Here's the rub. You can't trust your own heart. I can't either. My heart is deceitful. And the minute that I acknowledge that, I'm off to a good start. Above all things, it's deceitful. Desperately, so desperately sick. And therefore, when you think this is, you can easily get in trouble because you think, well, how could my heart be wrong? I'm following my heart. You know how many people I've counseled because they were following their heart? They're off in the rhubarb somewhere. They're off, way off, because they were just trusting their heart, and they met somebody of the opposite sex, and they're right off into the sunset, and everybody's wonderful, and except they're all completely deceived. How did they get deceived? They got deceived because they followed their heart. The Bible says our hearts are deceptive, because there's things that I want and desire and want God to to come forth with. And he says, who can understand it? Who can understand your heart? And I'd say, amen. I'm a shifty character. And you don't want to put your trust in me. And I won't put my trust in you. We'll put our trust in the arm of the Lord. That's the only safe place in the universe where you can be absolutely sure that it will be well. All will be well. The Lord, he said, who can know? Who knows? Because if I can be that easily deceived, I often wondered why evangelical Christians. Oh, by the way, I want to speak next Sunday on 8 reasons why I'm an evangelical. So just so you can come here next week. I, the Lord, search the heart. So when we pray, we ask the Lord to reveal to us any deception that could be in our heart, because the chances of it is very great that we're deceiving ourselves in some way. And this is a way of correcting it. Which brings us to number 5. Check yourself by God's word. Is this a scriptural thing that you're trusting in and looking to? And so just check yourself. Say, Lord, is there anything going on in my life where I'm on the verge of getting off? If there is any, Lord, please show me. And that brings me to number 6. I think it's number 6. I call it show me prayers. And I've been praying these things for years and years and years. I find it helpful. Show me where I'm off, if I'm off at all. Show me. Show me, Lord. Show me what to do. Show me, Lord, the right path to take. Show me how I can be a blessing to you, Lord. Show me. And when you find that you think of anything where the word comes out, show me their prayers that we want the Lord to reveal to us. Show me what I should do. Show me about that individual that I'm getting interested in. Show me. Show me, Lord, if I should get that house. I don't know if I should or not. Lord, please show me. Show me. And what will he do? Oh, I'm convinced he will show you. He will show us. He's not going to stand off. He's going to press in close. Because we've asked, we've not relied on our own understanding, but we said, Lord, please check us. Check me. Don't let me plunder on into despair. Horrible things happen. Because I see it all the time. People have gotten themselves in terrible times, and they need the help of the Lord a great deal, as we all do. So we check ourselves by God's word. We have show me prayers. Now, listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a voice. He has a voice. And just as the Lord knows your voice, I believe that we know his voice. And after a while, you start discerning it. Sometime in the beginning, you know, we're not sure if it's the devil or whether it's just some human thing or whether it's the Lord. And so you're never quite sure, at least in the beginning. That's my take on it. And then after a while, you begin to recognize the voice. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to me. You're sitting in church, and God just shares a word with your heart. And you said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for speaking to me today. Sometimes it can be through the message. It'll be different ways it'll come. But you said, I believe God was, because I was thinking along that line, and then all of a sudden God spoke to me in church. And by the way, that's why it's a good reason to always come. Always come, because God may speak and share something with you that you wouldn't have got at home watching TV. Right? So here you are, and the Holy Spirit is just guiding, because he loves you and he sees your heart. And so the Spirit of God, we say, Lord, fill me, anoint me, and now fill me that I can honor you and bless you. To rest in God's love. And it's an art to be learned. It just has there's something about it. I don't know why it works that way, but you know that old hymn, He leadeth me, oh blessed thought. I can't remember the rest of it. I'm not going to break into song. But it's He leadeth me. It's our testimony. And we rely entirely on the Lord for the answer. Psalm 34. Oh, fear the Lord. All you saints, fear the Lord. For those who fear him. And that's a good question. Do I fear the Lord? That doesn't mean we see him with a club. That's not the reference. It's just that it's the Lord. And he's high and mighty. And he's greatly to be praised. And he's greatly to be stand in awe. When God utters his voice, you will know that he has spoken. You will know. I will know. And we always know. For those, oh, fear the Lord, all you saints. For those who fear him, have no lack. Wow. You have no lack. If this was, we could make a magazine out of this together. No lack. They don't lack. And there's many different verses that talk about that as well. Not just one verse. There's all kinds of them verses. And they have no lack. So living with no lack, meaning there's enough. There's enough for now. There's enough. If you won't be in poverty. There may be needs, but you won't be in poverty. You'll have no lack. It'll be okay. It will be wonderful, in fact. And we just rejoice. Say, Lord, I'm kind of worried about this. Like all of us, everybody's got needs. Everybody's got things that you wish, you desire, right? And so you say, Lord, thank you that I can live with no lack. That I'm not going to be forever. I'm trusting you that because you're my God, that I'm going to be walking in the blessings. And the blessings of God. You know, when you see somebody, they got into drugs, they got into drinking, they get into this, they got into that, and their whole life is chaos. And I thought, how blessed am I? How is it that I got in the good stuff? Was I so clever? No, I was dumb. Just by the mercy of the Lord, my life is full and your life is full because you fear the Lord and you honor the Lord. I know that when somebody sees somebody getting ahead, they're just honored God and God honored. See, if I honor the Lord, he will always honor me. Always honor me. That's his nature. He will honor you because you honored him. You can't honor God and not get a response. And whatever it is, I mentioned money, but that's no, there's far more things more important than money this covers. But that's living with no lack, always just enough. Doesn't have to be the biggest house in town or the nicest car, but it's the car, and I have friends, and I've got people in my life that I see. I'm wealthy. With people, and just wonderful, wonderful people. And I said, that's a blessing. There are people that I meet all the time. They don't have any friends. They don't have a network of friends. I thought, oh man, when the wind starts blowing and things start happening and you haven't got any friends. And so I would say this, by the way, today, if you were here and you wish you had some friends, I would be honored to pray with you that you'd have some friends, because that's part of the wealth. You've got a wealth of people. And I feel sorry for immigrants who come and they don't know anybody. How lonely that must be, to not to be able to phone somebody up and say, oh, come on over for tea or something. So it's, I don't know how I got, that's not what I was really going to speak on, but it's no lack, living with no lack, just enough what you need to please the Lord. Number 8, but I trust in you, O God. I say, you are my God. I proclaim that. You are my God. And here's the beauty of this. My times are in your hand. My times. What time? For me. I've got certain things unfolding here in my life. You've got certain things unfolding in your life. But to be able to say, my times are in your hand, whatever is coming undone or being needed and adjusted, to keep trusting the Lord, my times are in his hand, your hands, your situation is in God's hand. And if you rejoice in that and bless him, when you get home tonight, thank him, get down beside your bed and say, thank you, God. I don't know where all the roads I'm going to go on, but my times are in your hand. It's not me. I don't want you in my life. I want to have my times in your life. And Psalm 31, verse 14. That's the whole passage on that. So if he knew when I was going to be born, and if he knew when I would come to the Lord, and when he knew. He must have known of these things before, and he's just as sure as he said, here, it's in my hand, it's okay. All will be well. All will be well. You can just say, put your hand on your heart and say, thank you, God, all will be well. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's something else. But the reality, I love these verses. There's again, scores and scores of them, of God reassuring. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Don't waver. Keep flat ahead. Just keep going ahead, claiming these verses. You might want to put it in your Bible. You'll be able to say, my times, God, are in your hand, and therefore I will not fear. And you don't need to fear either. We have that assurance. Trust the Lord with all your heart. And so to trust is to acknowledge him in everything. That's just simply how it works, to acknowledge him in everything. The way God leads us may not make sense to us. I think that's true, isn't it? The way God leads us may not make sense to us, but he has his reasons. He has his reasons for each and every detour. If you have detoured within this last year, you may say, boy, why does God drive so erratically? You know, we're going here and he's turning there and, oh, Lord, I don't want to go there. I got plans. God, yes, you see, I got plans. And we wonder about his detours, but he's got his reasons. If that suddenly turns like this and you say, I don't remember that being part of the plan. I don't remember that. Well, there was this because he didn't tell you. He didn't tell me. He just veers right off the road. He colors outside of the lines. He does. There's no reason for why he would even do what he does, at least from my perspective. And yet you find yourself saying, wow, I acknowledge him in all my ways. I thank you, Lord. Lean not in my own understanding, but to trust him. Detours cause us to trust God's character. He's a good God. And he will see you through. He's a good God. When you counsel with people, when you share with people, and you say, what kind of God is this God? It's a great God. A wonderful God. He will not let you down. He will be there for you. And he hears your voice and you hear his. Wow. And so, what does it mean to trust the Lord? It means just acknowledge him in all of your way and then watch trusting him to see what he'll do. Now, there's a verse in Psalm 16. I struggled with it. I'm not quite sure what it means, but I've been quoting it for years. I've been quoting it. David says, my lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. My lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I think it must be something to do with boundary lines in Old Testament times. The second part of that verse is, surely I have a delightful inheritance. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Psalm 16, verse 6. I can say that. And I think God's plan is that we'd all be able to say this. I can say my lines, my boundaries, in other words, my lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Could have fell over here, could have gone over there, but these lines fell in the best of places. And you can just marvel at it. And surely I have a delightful inheritance. Well, the Lord's lines have fallen well for me. And I'm a blessed man. I walk in the blessing of God, not because I'm anything or you're anything, just because our God is a great God. And this is how he works and how he functions. And there may be a few moments of pauses before everything comes clear, but it will come clear, and God will reaffirm to you that he loves you and you're on track, and just to keep focused on him. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And that, if I was counseling you, that's the first question I would ask you. Have you acknowledged the Lord in all your ways? And are you leaning on your own understanding? You must stop leaning on your own, but to look only to the Lord. And I think you'll be able later to say, my lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. thank God for those pleasant places. They're wonderful, right? It's God's plan. So let's stand together. I hope as a reminder that you will be able to come next Sunday. I just was thinking, somebody asked me what an evangelical was. Oh, I said, that's a good question. Someone said, I said, well, the question is, are you one? Are you an evangelical? He said, I don't even know what you're talking about. I said, well, maybe I'll speak on that during this kind of holidays season of eight things that an evangelical believes. At least this one. There may be others that don't believe that at all, but that's okay. I told some people I'm an athletic Baptist because that's partly true. I'll save that for next week as well. So, Lord, thank you. All the promises of God are yea and amen. We're blessed, Lord, and no reason for it. Wasn't because we were particularly good, but because you are particularly good. I thank you for each and every person here under the sound of my voice. I pray your blessing on them. I pray, God, that that we'll just continue to press in to you and all the plans you have for our lives collectively and individually. And Lord, knowing you and loving you is just the best thing that's ever happened to us. And we've seen the blessing of it. I know how off I would have been had I fallen my own way. I would be up against a wall. I would be completely overwhelmed. I would be in absolute despair. Lord, I thank you for making a way in my life that you have blessed me in. And we say together, Lord, thank you. Thank you, God, just for the wonderful things that have come about because of salvation. And we give you praise and thanks and honor. In Jesus' strong name we pray this. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. This doesn't get any better outside. Why don't you join us out there and we'll continue the dialogue.